A company teetering on the edge, $20 billion in market value, aggressive accounting masking deep operational rot, employees so demoralized they maintained tribal identities from past mergers, refusing to cooperate. This was Honeywell in 2002, a cautionary tale waiting to happen. Yet 16 years later, that same company was worth $120 billion, had beaten the S&P 500 by 2.5 times, and created 2,500 employee millionaires, 95% of whom weren't executives. What happened in between wasn't magic or luck. It was the systematic rejection of business's most seductive lie, that you must choose between winning today and building for tomorrow. Most leaders treat this as an either-or proposition, squeeze every penny now or invest for the future. But what if that's a false choice designed to excuse intellectual laziness? Walk into most boardrooms and you'll find executives armed with PowerPoint decks thick enough to stop bullets, filled with jargon that sounds impressive but means nothing. During one customer visit, leadership expected to discuss an exciting new product. Instead, they discovered the customer was finalizing a lawsuit against them, something the team knew nothing about. This wasn't an anomaly. It was symptomatic of a culture where leaders didn't truly understand their businesses, customers, or markets. The antidote isn't working harder, it's thinking harder. The any-ninny theory explains why. Anyone can improve a single metric without thought. Cut costs? Fire people. Boost profits? Delay investments. Great leadership resolves tensions between competing priorities. Conventional wisdom claimed you couldn't have high margins and high volume, or reduced inventory with excellent delivery. With intellectual discipline, you can achieve both. This required challenging leaders to move beyond incrementalism, considering only immediate implications while ignoring long-term consequences. When executives wanted to expand expensive existing plants rather than establish presence in low-cost regions, deeper analysis revealed the equation changed dramatically. The planning process was theater. Hundreds of PowerPoint slides concealing that leaders had no real understanding of how to run their businesses over 5 years. The company was trapped in destructive short-termism, consistently missing forecasts by 20% because business leaders accepted impossible targets while finance demanded they just get it done. The first step was eliminating quick fixes, all the aggressive accounting practices that kept everyone focused on quarterly results at tomorrow's expense. This took 18 months and required transparency with investors that performance would initially lag, causing the stock to drop 25%. It hurt, but the alternative was continuing to mortgage the future for today's illusion of success. Next came transforming strategic planning from a worthless exercise into a substantive discipline. Leaders submitted concise 3 to 4 page executive summaries with every word scrutinized, and vague claims about competitive strengths challenged relentlessly. Rather than dramatic cost-cutting through mass layoffs, the approach was perpetual restructuring, keeping fixed costs steady while growing sales year over year. By doing slightly more each year with the same resources, you deliver added profits to investors while setting aside portions for R&D and strategic expansion. This measured approach allowed R&D investment to increase from 3.3% to 5.5% of sales, while operating margins improved from 8% to 16% and sales nearly doubled. Process improvement became business's invisible hero. The Honeywell Operating System standardized processes across all facilities while engaging frontline workers in continuous improvement, unglamorous work that delivered extraordinary results. A fatal chemical plant accident exposed a dangerous pattern, dismissing serious problems as unlucky rather than addressing systemic failures. Investigation revealed billions in asbestos liabilities, massive environmental cleanup costs, an underfunded pension, and accounting practices designed to obscure problems, all from prioritizing quarterly results over long-term health. The decision? fix everything immediately. This meant $1.5 billion for asbestos settlements, increasing environmental remediation from $80 million to $250 million annually, and nearly $900 million to properly fund the pension. When arsenic appeared in a Baltimore playground, cleanup was funded immediately, without waiting for lawsuits. The most striking transformation came at Onondaga Lake near Syracuse, once America's most polluted lake. After a $451 million cleanup starting in 2006, swimming resumed by 2015, wildlife returned, and contaminant levels plummeted. Over 15 years, environmental incidents declined 93%, energy efficiency improved 70%, and safety became 80% better than industry average. The total investment was $3.5 billion, worth every penny, not just morally, but strategically, as process improvements reduced costs while preventing harm. Honeywell was fractured into warring tribes: legacy Honeywell employees, Allied Signal employees, and acquired Pitway employees operating independently. This cultural chaos destroyed talent retention and prevented strategic execution. Five key initiatives were defined: growth, productivity, cash, people, and operational enablers, along with 12 core behaviors, including customer focus, getting results, fostering teamwork, and self-awareness. Branded as One Honeywell, this unified everyone around serving customers rather than maintaining subcultures. The proof came in 2014 when Honeywell nearly sold its friction materials business at a $75 million loss. Because the learning mindset behavior had been internalized, an additional review was called despite initial approval. During a late-night conference call from China, previously unexplored financial details revealed the deal was worse than presented. By backing out, Honeywell later sold the business for $50 million more, a massive swing from cultural discipline. Meanwhile, half of 115,000 employees worked in manufacturing, wanting to contribute intellectually but lacking formal channels. The solution? A phased approach, starting with 10 pilot plants, tracking improvements in safety, quality, delivery, cost, and inventory. Over a decade, typical plants generated hundreds of process improvement ideas, reducing costs 15 to 20%, while similarly improving safety, inventory, delivery, and quality. When Honeywell's aerospace division president and CFO resigned simultaneously, replacements were announced within 48 hours, only possible through rigorous succession planning. Sustained performance requires talented leaders committed to company strategies. The performance review system was transformed by requiring managers to write appraisals themselves rather than having employees self-evaluate. Despite complaints, spending 20 hours annually ensuring you have the best people was framed as essential. For the 200 most senior positions, final candidates were personally interviewed. Internal hiring was emphasized because the best talent was often already within the organization, overlooked due to credentials or past positions. Like Tom Brady, who sat on the bench before becoming football's greatest quarterback, many potential stars simply need the opportunity to shine. In a business world obsessed with quarterly earnings, the most radical act is planting seeds you won't harvest for years. Honeywell was severely underinvesting in new products, so R&D spending was tripled over 15 years while dramatically improving efficiency by expanding high-quality, low-cost R&D centers in India, China, and the Czech Republic from 500 to 10,000 employees. Even brilliant strategies stumble during leadership transitions. A decade-long succession process prevented typical chaos. Starting in 2007, potential successors around 40 received progressively larger responsibilities. By 2014, finalists tackled significant leap jobs, testing their decision-making. In 2015, they presented strategic plans to the board. Darius Adamczyk distinguished himself through independent thinking and courage. A deliberate two-year transition followed. Darius served as COO the first year, then CEO, while his predecessor remained as executive chairman. Both leaders set egos aside, making the transition seamless. 6 weeks before retirement, activist investor Third Point Management recommended spinning off aerospace. The constructive response won over investors. Shares jumped 32% in 2017. During Darius's first 2 years, Honeywell delivered 55% total shareholder return versus 32% for the S&P 500. The greatest leaders reject false choices between today and tomorrow. They think harder, dig deeper, and refuse to sacrifice either time frame. Your legacy isn't the numbers you deliver. It's the garden you leave behind, fertile and ready for the next season's growth.